This is the Hip Hop Debate.
Hey everyone, back with another episode of the Hip Hop Debate. It is me, your co-host Paul, and I'm here with Kyle. How's it going, Kyle?
Good. How are you guys?
Yeah, I'm good. So we're back with another episode. And at the end of last episode, we talked about, you know, possibly switching it up a little and trying something different. So the name of the podcast is the Hip Hop Debate. As I said, there might be topic or topics. And by saying that in the last episode, we are going to try something different and have a few segments timed, and we're going to kind of debate each other, kind of more of a, as you'd see, the sports morning shows. I'm not going to say them, but they know who they are, and go at it like that. So yeah, we're going to basically have a few topics, and we'll announce a topic, and we'll each get a few minutes to each other to discuss, and then we'll kind of debate it at the end of each topic, and we'll go from there. So before we get started on the episode, what's new in hip hop? So as I briefly might have mentioned last week, Don Toliver just dropped his recent album, Life of Adonis, second LP. And man, that's all I listened to all weekend.
Yeah, you like it?
On repeat. This album is better than his first album.
Wow.
He grew as an artist. Like the first album to me, Heaven or Hell, he was going for hits. Like it was just all bangers, I would say. And this one is just, it felt like he grew as an R&B artist. Definitely, because the hip hop, I would say, maybe is a little different, but hip hop's pretty similar. But the R&B, he really grew, and I'm really, really good. I would definitely give it a listen.
Awesome. How long had it been since he released his last album? Like, has it been some time or?
Probably a year and a half, because he released at the beginning of 2020, or like February, March, somewhere around there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And then he was on, because that was, I think, a month or two after Jack Boys was released. I don't know if you ever listened to that, Travis Scott's label.
Yeah.
So yeah, that album is really good. And then as I just mentioned before we got on, I'm seeing him in concert. He's coming to Charlotte tomorrow, October 13th.
Nice.
Very excited for that. He seems like, I've watched some videos because that's just what I do. I love live performances. I just love the energy in live performances. And I watched some of his and I saw that it looks pretty good. And the melodies that he does, and he does Moon, which I'm very excited to hear live.
Nice.
Because that sends me every time. so yeah, supposedly good live. So
all right. You have to give us a concert review.
Yes, we'll get a concert review next episode. And before we go into the weekly topic, is there anything else you wanted to add for something new? Or
I don't know. I haven't been listening to much anything new. I've really been, honestly, been back into like the King's Disease by Nas on repeat. Like I've been,
it's a good album.
I've been putting those two together, and to me, like when you listen to both of them at the same time, like one after the other, it sounds so good. Like they both just sound so like together. And I was, like I said before, like I felt like the second one, I thought was all just going to be like B-sides, but like, I think the second actually might be better than the first. So I've just been kind of digging that and listening to that. Nothing too new. I know that we talked a lot about like new stuff that came out last week, like the Wayne and stuff like that. I haven't tried that at all. And the Meek Mill album, I don't know. I don't have the interest yet, but it'll get there.
Yeah, I understand. I listened to it a few times over the weekend, and like maybe Monday or Tuesday, and then I haven't listened to it since. I'm like, all right, that was good.
Well, your boy drops. So, you know, whenever one of your favorite artists drops, it's hard to listen to anything else.
Yeah, seriously. So last thing before we start to get into our topics, Wu-Tang. It was episode, what was that, six or seven at this point. It's going pretty quick this season, but it was like I was saying before the show started, it was an episode where kind of was like, all right, well, it's been on such a high that they kind of had to like make a slower episode. So it was pretty good. They were just trying to advertise themselves, you know, get their name out there to the radios and stuff. So obviously you'll see it, but it was a cool episode. I'll just say that it wasn't bad. It was a cool episode. So
okay, cool.
Yeah, and then the new episode drops tomorrow, so I'm gonna be excited to watch that tomorrow night. If you have nothing else, we'll get started on the new style we're going to try this episode. So the first topic we are going to talk about is which Lil Wayne album is his best. I'll let you take the floor first, Kyle.
All right. Sounds good. So for me, like it came when it came down to like picking like certain albums, like for me, I feel like there's no like better way than to like compare Lil Wayne albums in terms of like the best. Like it has to be something from the Carter series. Like for me, like I feel like one of those albums has to be like his best. He's had some other like decent ones, but I think when you think about like what's the best from Lil Wayne, it's probably like one of those. And I had a really tough time thinking about either the Carter 2 or the Carter 3. And in my mind, I came down to the Carter 3. And I think that the Carter 3 is probably his best album, because I think that a lot of the recordings on that, like a lot of the songs, are probably some of the best that he's done on a studio album. Like we talk about him as like a mixtape king and the mixtape god, but you know, he was able to put together a really decent album with the Carter 3. I think he had a lot of great ideas. Like for example, like he was a very versatile writer on this album. Like I love the whole idea of like the track Mr. Carter, where he's rapping just kind of about himself, but then Jay-Z comes in and he's also a Carter. So like, I thought that was just kind of like a cool little song that they did together. And at that point, I think both of them were kind of like at the top of their game. You know, Jay-Z maybe a little bit earlier on, but you know, to have like Lil Wayne, who was probably the biggest rapper at the time, with Jay-Z on that a track, like that was a big deal. So I think that song was huge. Yeah. And I also like some of the other great ideas, like Dr. Carter. Like I love that song just because it's like, he's basically rapping like hip hop is like dying and he's like kind of like the doctor saving it. I thought that was just like a cool concept.
Yeah.
You know, some of the other songs like Phone Home, like that literally makes me feel like I'm being abducted by an alien, or like I'm getting abducted by a UFO, because it's just like the style of that song is just crazy. And that's very like, you know, Outkast themed too. I feel like he got a lot of the ideas on that song from Outkast with like AT aliens and stuff like that. So kind of going back to the roots a little bit for him. Then you have like Lollipop, like, you know, probably one of the biggest pop rap songs like ever. Like that song was just so big. And like, I'm not going to sit here and defend like it is like one of the greatest songs, like lyrically or anything like that, but like just how big it was, like how big that song was. And he knew that he was trying to make a pop rap song, and I think he delivered, you know, he made a song that a lot of people can like get behind and stuff like that. So, and then Mrs. Officer is just another great idea. Like I love the whole, like getting arrested by a lady cop, but like it's Lil Wayne. So like, you know, what's going to happen. so like you can kind of, you know, fill in the blanks there. But you know, so those are just some like great songs that I think were like really great ideas. You also have to, you know, pay respect to A Millie and Got Money. Like those are two of probably his biggest, and probably his best singles to date. Like I think some of the, like both those songs, like you hear that, A Millie beat, and like, you know, instantly like what song is coming on. So, you know, and the same with Got Money, like, you know, T-Pain's part in that was just awesome. And then, you know, some of the other songs, like, you know, Tie My Hands, like that's probably one of his more like personal and like deepest records, you know, because he's from New Orleans and it's all about, you know, basically, you know, the whole thing with Katrina. And you never really see Lil Wayne get too like emotional like that. And I think that was one of the cases where it was like, wow, like he's really, you know, talking about something that's really deep here. So I just like that song a lot. Of course, you got some bangers like You Ain't Got Nothing and Let the Beat Build. Like those are, you know, just great songs to bang out to. I also just love his production. And a lot of it was probably Kanye inspired because Kanye worked on that album. But some of the songs were like very soul and jazz, you know, so like Comfortable, Mrs. Officer, Let the Beat Build, like all those like great samples, like those soul samples are totally Kanye, but it fits for Lil Wayne too. Like I think Lil Wayne did a really good job kind of rapping over them. And then last but not least, I'm just going to finish by saying, I think it's called Don't Get It is the last song. And that's it's a good rap song, but I just think that it's such a good like outro to the album, you know, like it's just like a great way of just like saying, this is the Carter 3, it's done. And then he kind of just like goes on like a, you know, talking tangent where he's like, you know, dissing Al Sharpton and basically just talking about like how he's perceived in like the industry and on the street, because, you know, at the time he was a very controversial artist. A lot of people were like, you know, talking controversy about him and just kind of the way that he, you know, looks, maybe like his image or something like that. So I just thought it was a great kind of closer to the track. So, or a great closer to the album. So, so those are kind of my reasons. I think the Carter 3 is probably his best album, and it's probably also his biggest. Like, I don't think any other album that he's made has quite touched it in terms of talent and in terms of like sales and charts and stuff like that. So I'm going with the Carter 3. How about you? What do you say?
All right, so I actually agree. I say the Carter 3 as well. I think I'm gonna talk quickly about the agreement, because then I have some disagreements in other ways, but it's definitely he's focused more on storytelling on this album. Yeah. I think more than that, and the Carter 4, I think he was very focused on storytelling. So I think it is his best album, but like a lot of Lil Wayne, to me, it's his music's not aging well. It's not standing the test of time to me. Yeah. It's some songs, he's a classic all-time artist. He's a great artist, but it's just like he has some songs that still will hit because he's that type of artist, but a lot of it is not that good anymore, personally. Mm-hmm. I don't know about everyone else. Please sound off in the comments or tweet at me or DM me if you like, but it's not aging well. So I think that's his best overall album. That's his best body of work, but it's not my favorite of his. I think, and you're probably going to be like, what the hell is he saying when I say this album? But I'm Not a Human Being 2, I think, is my favorite album of his album, not mixtape.
Yeah.
Mixtapes, it's different because his mixtapes still kind of stand the test of time because, and I'm going in, that's kind of what I'm going to say with this album is his albums. And like I said, with Carter 3 and Carter 4, but even his other albums that he came out with, especially the Carter series, where he kind of tried to put songs together. And that's not Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne is best at just rapping, give him a beat and let him just go. That's why No Ceilings is a great mixtape. That's why his, his plethora of mixtapes were so good. And that's why I think that's why to me is my favorite album of his is I'm Not a Human Being 2, because he's just rapping, like he's going off. And the thing that, at least with him, or when anyone really just focuses on just rapping, he is able to focus on his changing flows and then just trying different things. So he's able to, be, to me, more versatile instead of just honing in on a subject or certain topic. So that's why I think I agree in the terms of that, because Carter 3 is just still, I think it's his best. I think it's also not staying the test time too overall, but that's a different topic. But I think my favorite of his is I'm Not a Human Being too. I don't know if you listen to it or even like it or whatever, but that to me, that's my favorite of his.
Isn't that the one with the Future and Drake song where it's like,
I'm on that good cushion alcohol.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I dug that song, but I think that was at the point, like when that album came out, cause I think we were probably like sophomores in college or something like that.
Sophomores or juniors, something. It was like around that time.
Yeah. And that's for me, that's like kind of like where I lost him. I totally agree with you. Like, he hasn't really stood the test of time. I feel like it's more like his like later stuff. Like he just kind of like dipped and fell down a little bit, fell off. So, I mean, and there's always going to be good tracks, especially on the tracks where he's rapping and just going in, because that's what he does. And that's what he does best. But when I think of like an album that like, if I had to take all the albums that he's ever done and just like pick one to like, just continue to listen to like in the future, like the Carter 3 is going to be the one that I pick just because, for one, like I grew up on that time when it came out, so like some of those songs are still like very, like they have a big part in my life, so like, I grew up with listening to that album. I feel like that was kind of the album that also like made him like a big pop sensation. Like, because before that people liked him, but the Carter 3 was like the one where like people were like, oh, this is Lil Wayne. And, oh, I love this song, play this song and stuff like that. So I just feel like that's the one album that I just want to, that's the one album in his discography that I just would keep revisiting, even today, like just when I was like listening to some of the songs about like, trying to like write notes down, I was like, oh yeah, like I forgot that he did this song. This is not bad. It's not bad. So I just find myself revisiting that one. Occasionally I'll revisit the 4th, the Carter 4, cause that one also wasn't too bad. But yeah, the 3rd one is just kind of the one that I just always kind of go back to. And like I said, I love some of his ideas on there. Like, I think he's very versatile on that album and has a lot of like, just like different ideas and kind of styles that go with it. So, So I don't know. Yeah, that's just me.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's his best overall body of work. And I, yeah. like I said, I agree. And I just, that's not my go-to with him. I don't know why. I just love that album, but
yeah,
that we could talk about Lil Wayne another time. So, so next we're going to talk about, who is the greatest rapper out of Atlanta? I'll go first. So who yeah. I think is the greatest rapper out of Atlanta is Young Thug.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's very surprising, but he's just, I'm a huge Young Thug fan. And so the reasons I think he is the greatest rapper out of Atlanta, I'm going to start with first his versatility with his flows alone. His, like, I've tweeted this a few months ago that he is, besides Biggie, I think he is the second greatest flow of all time. He's just that good with his flows. Yeah. I know you're like, what the hell is this guy saying? also his voice. And I know a lot of people don't like his voice, but I am a huge fan. His voice has grown on me and I'm a huge fan of his voice now. And just the way he uses it, he uses his voice very precisely and people don't realize that a lot of the time. So I think that he is able to use his voice in so many different ways that he's able to convey a lot of emotions just in his voice, not even the words he might be saying. Mm-hmm. So that, I think he's really good for that. And then he just also has different styles of music. Like he has his album Punk coming out this Friday. And I'm pretty sure like punk themed, like punk music themed. So he's done that. He has a song with Elton John, Rocket Man, like a rendition of Rocket Man. He's done just all different, you know, types of hip hop overall. And I think he's just very versatile in the music that he does. Also, his ability to recognize and put on talent. He's put on Gunna, Lil Baby, Weezy the producer, and Turbo the producer. Weezy's probably the hottest producer in hip hop, or one of the hottest. And also Turbo is also a very hot producer right now. So those two are just like, and they're signed to his label. So and Gunna obviously is, Lil Baby's the only one that isn't, but he kind of discovered Lil Baby. And then also this is a bold, you know, take, but I think he's current hip hop's biggest influence right now. Like what's going on, like currently, like we talked about overall influences, you know, two episodes ago, but with, in terms of like the newest stuff coming out and just what artists are like really emulating is, I think current is because of Young Thug and the different, like I said, his flows, his voice and different styles he's trying. I think a lot of artists currently that are coming out the last, say, maybe like 2 to 3 years, or not even 3 years, say like two and current, are majorly influenced from Young Thug. And I think that plays a big part in why I think he is the best rapper out of Atlanta of all time. Or the greatest rapper out of Atlanta.
Wow. You shocked the hell out of me with that one. That's,
yeah, cool. I know, right?
That's crazy. For me, I'm going to have to go. This was tough because for me, it's kind of like a 1-2 punch. I think that Outkast as a group is probably the best rap duo / like each one of them is like probably the best rapper from Atlanta. I think that a lot of people are going to give Andre 3000 kind of like the edge over Big Boy, just because, you know, when you talk to a lot of people that know like a lot of hip hop and listen to a lot of hip hop, usually Andre 3000's in that conversation of like the greatest of all time. He might be in like your top 10. He might be in like your like top 20. He might even be in your top 5. Like who knows? But he has so much, like so many people just like consider him to be one of the greatest. And I think that while he is a fantastic rapper, I think that neither one of them would be what they are without the other. You know, like I feel like, you know, Andre 3000 and Big Boy, they're still like great rappers by themselves, but I think what really makes them is kind of like them being together. So I probably would give Andre the edge, but I think both of them as a unit are some of like the greatest, you know, it's like the greatest rap music to come out of Atlanta. I think about when you think about their first, their album, I'm going to try and say it, Southern Playalistic Cadillia Music. I don't know. I can never say that name. But when you think of like that album, like, that really like introduced the world to like Southern hip hop. And I know that Southern hip hop had been out for, you know, a while, especially in more in Houston than Atlanta. But like they were the ones that kind of like put hip hop like into the mainstream in terms of like the Southern hip hop, you know, the Southern style. You know, they had like giant influences of like funk and psychedelia and jazz, you know, kind of influences in their music, which was something that you didn't really see before. You know, in the West Coast, you kind of had more of like that G funk style, and, you know, kind of like in New York, they were mostly influenced by jazz. So to have kind of like that funk style and that psychedelic style, like that was really big. In terms of like their sound and what they were trying to do out in Atlanta and down in the South. So also, you know, after that, they had some of their best albums, which kind of pushed that Southern sound a little bit. And they played such a hand on creating some of the more Atlantic, you know, a lot of the rappers that came from Atlanta that are still kind of relevant now, like T.I. and Ludacris. Like, I feel like those guys, like we talk about all the time, like artists who probably wouldn't be around if it wasn't for other artists. And I never like to say that because, like, of course they'll be around, but I don't think T.I. and Ludacris would have that big of an influence if it wasn't for Outkast. I still think they'd be around. I still think they'd be pretty decent. And of course they're from the South, so they'd still have like an influence on the Southern music. But I think that, you know, Outkast was the one that kind of pushed the ticket for a lot of people in Atlanta, including like the ones today, like Young Thug, or even if you like people like Migos, or you know, just some of those other guys like 2 Chainz. Like those guys were all very heavily influenced by the sounds that Outkast was making for most of the 90s and into the early 2000s. And then my last point, what can you say about like Speaker Box, Love Below, like a double album, both of them kind of like doing their own thing, but like it still worked. And I really think that album was big for 2 reasons. One, I think that album was so big because it really allowed Andre to kind of do his own thing and kind of show off like his versatility as like a musician. So he doesn't really rap a lot on that album, you know? So he was a really good rapper on like ATLians and Aquemini and Stankonia. But then when that album came out, like he was able to kind of like almost like change up his style and change up his flow, but like people still appreciated it and still liked it, you know? And of course, obviously probably dropped one of their biggest singles of all time on that album. And it was him kind of just doing like the, hey, yeah, like just singing, you know? So it was a big pop song. And that kind of, again, that kind of changed like who he was, but people respected him as like a musician because he can rap, but he can also make a really good pop tune. So I think that album was big for that reason. But I also think that it was big because the facts are, it's the only hip hop album to ever win the Grammy for Album of the Year. Like, and like, you can't really debate that, you know, like there's, you know, it's just the fact that it is. And I think that's such a big to kind of have in their like kind of back pocket is like, hey, we're the only group to win Album of the Year as a hip hop duo. So I think when you think of those things like that, and just again, the fact that Andre for the most part is always in the GOAT conversation, I think that's kind of why I picked them to kind of be the greatest rappers from Atlanta, is because they kind of pushed that sound and they just kind of went off with it and it just took off, and the rest was kind of just history. So I'm going to say Andre 3000 / Big Boy, because I can't pick the two.
All right. Well, we'll agree to disagree, old school, new school. I understand that. And even the guy like Young Thug is kind of influenced from more of an Andre 3000, because just how being on one hand different, but also being yourself in a way, and being different's okay. So I think he's an influence on Young Thug. Yeah. All right. So now we'll go to the next topic. So the next topic is Pharrell the GOAT producer? And I'll let you go first this time on this one.
Okay. The GOAT producer, like the greatest of all time. I can't give it to him.
Okay.
I'm thinking, first off, I mean, you got to think about some of the other producers that have been around. And you know, the ones that just come to mind, Dr. Dre, obviously. I think Dr. Dre to me is the greatest producer of all time. I think that, you know, just with the way that he was able to kind of create that West Coast sound, and just kind of, you know, still make it relevant even to today with people like Kendrick and all some of the other guys that come out of the West Coast. He still makes that kind of sound stay relevant, which, you know, it's, you know, that's that's what he does. Like, he just does that the best. And in terms of like being part of like the first group to ever make like gangster rap, like, you know, or at least one of the first groups to do that, like, I think that is a very big part in it as well. So when I think about like what he's done and just kind of what he continues to do, is awesome. Like, his last album is still like, people are still waiting for that to like drop. Like, that's how
big it's never like, coming.
I know, but like, but listen, like, you think that people are still like wondering, like, when is that going to come out? When is Detox finally going to drop? And like, that just shows you like his influence, you know, like people want that Dr. Dre album to drop. And so I feel like that pays a lot of respect to kind of the work that he's put in over the years on his music. I also think of people like DJ Premier, who is a great, you know, kind of like the reverse of Dr. Dre, you know, kind of almost making that New York sound with like the boom bap kind of sound. I think that, you know, that plays a really big factor because, you know, New York is like the birthplace of hip hop, and he's kind of like the maker of like what hip hop sounds like sonically. So I think of him, I think of Timbaland with like all of the hits, all of the people that he's worked with, and just, you know, all of the things that he kind of continues to do, not maybe more as a producer, but as like kind of like a businessman. But still, like, just like, if you look at his discography of all the songs he's worked on and all the artists that he's worked with, it's a lot. And so I think that he's respected a lot. And I think a lot of people respect his sound as well. I also kind of a sleeper pick that nobody probably really thinks about, but I think of Rick Rubin. And like all of the stuff that he's done for hip hop, you know, in terms of working with Jay-Z and Kanye West and a whole list of other people, you know, he's one of the most respected producers in hip hop, but also just in music in general.
Yeah, definitely music overall.
Yeah. I mean, cause he works in all genres and while, you know, he works with rock and all those other kind of genres, like people in hip hop still respect him too. So I kind of think of that and kind of the work that he's done. I also think of Kanye West, you know, who, you know, started off as a really great producer before he became a rapper, and just, you know, the soul sampling, like, especially on like his first few albums. The soul sampling was just like, he was so like on with all that, you know, like there wasn't like a bad sample that he ever had. And then even kind of like in the later years when he dropped 808s and My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, like just the use of the 808 drum machine, like, again, something that a lot of people actually really didn't do. You know, he kind of embraced that sound and kind of embraced those, like those drums that come on that machine, and really just took off with it. And he still continues to do that today, you know, even with working, on Yeezus with like Daft Punk, you know, like nobody ever would have thought that any other rapper would work with Daft Punk except for Kanye West. So I feel like he just kind of like, you know, he kind of has made his own sound and kind of has made, like, kind of pushed it, really pushed it. And then the last one I think about before I actually get into Pharrell, is the RZA. And I feel like I've appreciated him a lot more with this new Wu-Tang show. And we talked about it briefly. Yeah. We talked about it briefly last episode too, where like that one episode where, you know, we just see like what his mind was doing when he was like sampling. And he's like a music genius. Like, he really is. Like, not a lot of rappers or producers can like go into a record store and like not know what they're looking for and just like find something random and be like, oh, I'm going to make a beat out of this. You know, like usually like, you know what you're looking for and you just go into it. But he was just like, oh, like I love, even if it was like a song and all he liked was like the trumpet, like he would find a way to get that trumpet and then mix it with like the violins of another's, like, you know what I mean? Like, he would just put it all together. Like, it was a puzzle, and it's crazy. I never really appreciate that about him until I saw that episode on the show. But again, kind of going back to what I said about DJ Premier, he also was like a very big influence on that New York sound. So I think of those producers. And then I also think about this in terms of Pharrell. Like, Pharrell, of course, like, he's influential. He's one of the most influential producers in hip hop. He's had a huge career, lots of work, especially with like the Clips. I think Clips was that album, the first album that they had, he produced most of it. And like, that was one of the classic albums at the time. But I just keep going back to the fact that for the most part, like up until about recently, he had help. like he had help with Chad Hugo when they were the Neptunes. And then when they made NERD, like Chad Hugo was a part of that too. So I feel like it hasn't always been Pharrell. Like I feel like Pharrell has always kind of had that help in terms of producing songs for other people. And it hasn't been until recently where he's actually started like doing his own thing. Like people like go to Pharrell and be like, hey, can you produce this song for me? And he kind of does it on his own. I feel like in the beginning of his career, he had a lot of help. And to me, that just kind of like knocks him off a little bit. I still think that he's like a top 10, top 15, but the greatest of all time, I don't think I can put him in front of a lot of the people that I just said.
All right. Well, this is why we're this debate show, because I think he is the greatest producer of all time. If you asked me a year or two, not a year ago, 2 years ago, I would have said I didn't even like Pharrell really, but his sound I think is so unique, and even beats with like heavy that are like with a lot of bass and stuff that he focuses on, that he, every beat that he has a lightness to it. It's something that he, I guess a specific sound that he does, or a specific instrument or something that he uses, that just everything sounds light. And I know he had help, but he's also listed solo on a lot of other songs too. And before I get into that list, because that's all I need to win this argument, but you, like I said, with Pharrell, you can kind of tell a beat is his, and he's worked with generations of hip hop from like the late 90s, and he's still producing today. And, you know, producers like rappers, they get phased out. They're kind of hot at the moment and they'll have their moment, and then they kind of just, they're still around because they can still make beats, but they kind of are making beats what's popular at the moment. So then he keeps staying relevant because he's just making beats that are good regardless. And that's what like classic producers do. But you can kind of tell even with some producers, like a Dr. Dre, like that sounds, his sound kind of faded away. That sound isn't as relelevant anymore. Or a RZA, that it sounds not as relevant anymore. But Pharrell, his sound keeps evolving over time. And his sounds are still very unique. And I think that's a testament to how good he is that he's still, you know, he's had his time he was producing, like looking through his production, like it's slowed down over the years, but he's still producing a decent amount. But like in like probably like 2000 or 99 to like 2007, it was insane how many songs he produced. So, and then it like started to slow down a little from there, but it's just crazy how like that was like his era, and then he's still making hit songs or producing hit songs after that. So to win this argument, I'm just going to go really quick through all these unreal songs that he produced, or these massive songs that everyone knows. So I'm going to start with Shake Your Ass by Mystical. I Just Want to Love You by Jay-Z. Southern Hospitality by Ludacris. You Don't Have to Call by Usher. Youngin' Holla Back by Fabulous. I'm a Slave for You, Britney Spears. Pass the Cavassier, Part 2, Busta Rhymes. Grindin' by The Clips, as you talked about. Rock Your Body by Justin Timberlake. Excuse Me, Miss, Jay-Z. Beautiful, Snoop Dogg. La La La, Jay-Z. Milkshake, Khalees. Change Clothes, Jay-Z. Let's Get Blown, Snoop Dogg. Getting Some by Shauna. Green Light by Beyonce. Drop It Like It's Hot, Snoop. Holla Back Girl, Gwen Stefani. Gotta Have It, Jay-Z and Kanye. Good Kid, Kendrick. Blurred Lines, Robin Thicke. He's canceled now, but whatever. Get Lucky with Daft Punk. All Right by Kendrick Lamar. 30 Hours by Kanye. Feels with Calvin Harris. Havana by Camila Cabello. Stir Fry, Migos. Ape Shit by Beyonce and Jay-Z. Skeletons by Travis Scott. And Juggernaut on, you know, Tyler Creator's new album. Like, I'm sorry, no producer, and obviously we disagree, but no producer, give me their, have as many songs as Pharrell had, and no producer has as many songs as Pharrell just had. And I even just skipped songs when I made that list, because I was like, there were some of my favorites, like Move That Dope by Future, Pharrell and Pusha T. Like there's a bunch of other songs. Blue Magic by Jay-Z, I love that song. And like I could have added probably 10 more. He's just that, to me, he's just that good. And I just think the songs speak for itself of how many hits he's had. And I started, you know, there were songs before that, but Shake Ass was like his biggest at the earliest. And then it went all the way to, you know, the song this year with Tyler, the Creator. He's the GOAT.
No, I hear you. I like I said, I definitely give him credit where credit's due. I mean, I think when you look at his track record, kind of like how you kind of laid out for us, is like, you know, you're right. He has like so many songs, and he's one of those guys too that, like, you know, he works with so much. Like he probably is like the Timbaland of today, because like I said, Timbaland back then, like, he had so many hits and worked with so many people, and Pharrell just kind of pushed that. I'm just thinking more of like, you know, I don't know. Like, I just, like I said, when I talk about the RZA, like, I love how, again, I just love like his creative mind when it comes to beats. And he may not have like the best, like, he may not have like all the songs, but I think like anytime you hear like a RZA beat, you're just like, oh, like, that's, you know, that's a pretty catchy sample. Like, I've never heard of that sample before. Oh, is this like a country rock like sample that he just like took like the horns from and stuff? So like, I feel like that, like, it's things like that. Like, I think Kanye West, like, again, using kind of like, you know, like, just different sounds and like kind of more like far out there sounds, you know, it's not so much like just like using like a couple of like horns and instrumentation, just kind of hitting like, you know, the drum beat a couple of times. Like he goes out there to like get these weird ass sounds and somehow makes a song out of it. Like, I think that that's just crazy. And then, like I said too, like Dr. Dre, just kind of like making that West Coast sound. I still think that that's relevant. I still think that his sound is relevant with, especially with Kendrick, you know, like, I think Dr. Dre, like, he's another one of those guys where if you hear like a really good West Coast beat, chances are it's probably Dr. Dre, and you're going to know it. Like, I feel like, you know, a Dr. Dre beat when you hear it. I feel like, you know, a Kanye West beat when you hear it. Maybe not so much like DJ Premier these days or you know, like, you never know what Rick Rubin's doing. Like, I never know when he's on a track or whatever, but I don't know. I feel like they may not have the quantity that Pharrell does, but in terms of like the quality, I feel like there's a lot that goes into their production, and that's just kind of what I'm feeling, you know?
All right.
It's not all about the numbers, Paul. It's not all about the numbers.
Hey, but you know, Pharrell beats, you can tell Pharrell beat too, but
you can, all right. you can.
Well, we'll go on to the last topic. And this will probably be a shorter one than the others, but the last topic is, if you had to pick three headliners for a music festival, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday music festival, who would they be? And I guess since you went first last time, I'll go first. So I would go Friday, and you don't have to pick the dates. I'm just a nerd like that.
Just mapping it out.
Yeah. I'm just the vibes. You got to, you know, keep the vibes right.
I hear you.
Friday, I go with Travis Scott. Mm-hmm. Just because I think he's to me, him and Kanye are the two best performers I've seen in hip hop. So I got to have him, and he's obviously one of my favorites. Then Saturday, Kendrick. I think Kendrick, I saw him on the Damn Tour, puts on a great performance as well. I love to see him live doing, you know, a long set, you know, as a headliner set, like an hour. What is it? They do like an hour or an hour and 15 sometimes. So seeing Kendrick do that of just like a mix of, you know, all of his albums. And then Sunday would be Kanye just shutting it down, like Coachella 2010 or 2011. He had that crazy performance. Hot take, that's a better Coachella performance than Beyonce's, but I will never win that argument with anyone. So that's just my take. But yeah, I just think that would be a great festival lineup. And if I could pick an R&B artist, I would actually take out Kendrick and put in The Weeknd. But we're just with a hip-hop debate, so we'll just keep it hip-hop. And I don't know if – I forgot what festival it is in Vegas – I forgot what it's called. It's happening, I think, soon. Kendrick's the headliner, and he's doing a bunch of songs from each album. Like, he's doing, like, not just like, you know, I think he's doing a very long set. So I wanted to go to that, but I was like, that's just too much money at the moment. And I'm getting married in less than a year now. So, you know, the money I can get. So yeah, that's my ideal festival headliners. Nice. What about you?
Awesome. I do have one honorable mention. I would really like to, at a festival, I would love it if I got to see like Jay-Z and Beyonce together. Like, I feel like that'd be awesome. Cause I know that they did that they did a show in New York like that, right? Where they were together.
They had a whole tour.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah. On the Run tour. They did two, I think. They had two of them.
Okay. Yeah. So like, I would like to see that. I mean, Amanda at a festival, that would be really cool. Did she really?
She went to the tour, the Giants, you know, MetLife.
Okay. Yeah. So I would love to see that. I mean, I would love to see that more as a festival, just because I feel like it would be like that more epic. Whereas like, if I'm planning to see them at like a regular concert, it would be like different because I know what I'm getting. But I feel like at a festival, like if Jay-Z were to open up and then all of a sudden Beyonce comes out for like half the show, like I would be sweet with that. Like that'd be awesome. But if I had to pick like three just individual people for a music festival, me and you, it could be, yeah, okay. But for me, like two of ours are actually exactly the same. Okay. So I would also pick Travis Scott. I've never seen him live and I would love to, because I hear that his shows are out of this world. I would have loved to have gone to see Astroworld just because of like all the crazy things that he was doing. Like, you know, like
the roller coasters,
goddamn roller coaster. Yeah. So like, you know, if he brings that kind of energy, like to all of his shows, which I've heard he does, like I would love to see that. So I would go to that show for the experience. I think that would be a great experience. Then I would probably say that my next one that you also said was Kendrick. I get mesmerized when Kendrick's rapping on record. So imagine how I'm going to feel when I see him live. I just feel like that would just be like, that's a different kind of experience, you know, like Travis is more like a party hard, like let's just go ape shit experience. And Kendrick is more like, I'm going to blow your mind experience. So like, and he's one of my favorite artists right now. I think Kendrick, even though he hasn't put anything out in a while, he's still like one of the best to do it right now. So I would just love to see that, cause I haven't seen him live either. But then my change up to you is I would want to see Nas, because Nas is my favorite artist. In terms of hip hop, he's my favorite rap artist. Never seen him live. I feel like I would know most of the songs. So that would just be like a great kind of like vibe for me, and just kind of like, you know, just go in on like everything that he does. And it will kind of just like, you know, I don't know. It's kind of just, it would be like a defining moment for me in terms of like my music career, because, you know, he's one of my favorite artists and I would just love to see him live. And if it's at a music festival, that's awesome. If it's in a regular concert, whatever. But yeah, so if I had to pick three headliners for a music festival, I would also pick Travis, like you did, Kendrick, and then Nas to top it off.
Cool. Yeah. I've never seen Nas either, but that's something that, you know, when you see your favorite artist, like I saw Kanye, like it's one of those things, it's like, holy shit. Like it's going to sound so exactly. It's like, he's right there. Holy crap. Like he's like, even though I'm the wall's right behind me, you know,
right.
He's in the same building as me. It's weird. So when I saw him on the Kanye and the Yeezus tour, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. I have to agree. So I hope you get to see Nas sooner than later.
He's playing at Mohegan Sun on my birthday, October 23rd. And I want to go so bad. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would love to. But yeah, like I've never, and the thing with him too, is like, I feel like he doesn't come around a lot, especially not lately, because he hasn't really, up until King's Disease, like he hasn't really like done a whole lot. So I feel like he's like kind of like a diamond in the rough. Like you can't really find him ever. So that's kind of another reason why I would want him to be at a festival, is because like, what are the chances you're going to see him again, you know?
Yeah.
I hope somehow I get to that concert, but if not, you know,
what day of the week is it?
So my birthday is on a Saturday this year.
It's a Saturday. It's on your birthday and
it's
at Mohegan Sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't have tickets already.
I'm telling you, man, I just might do it. I just might do it.
I would have shown you my ticket stubs. Awesome. So I hope you guys enjoyed this new style, new format of the Hip Hop Debate. Next week we will have the timer on. I apologize for my internet connection. It's sucks. So we're just going to do some stuff, you know, quick stuff to wrap up the show. The end of show stuff. So next week's topic, we are not revealing it yet. We will reveal it this upcoming week. So check our socials for that. We will notify you guys of the next week's topic. Also, it's time to review the album that was given to me. So I am going to review Run the Jewels 2. And I'll just start by saying, with literally the start of it on Song Jeopardy, I'm like, holy shit. All right. Killer Mike's like, he's just hyping. And I'm like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
we're starting with this. But it's a very good album. It's an album that, to me, it's, you have to be in the, for me, I have to be in the right mind frame to listen to that. I can't just like turn it on and be like, all right, yeah, let's listen to Run the Jewels too. But yeah, it has the, when I listened to it, I was like, it's very, they're very introspective and they're very political and they're very harsh with what they're saying, but there's a purpose and meaning to why they're saying all these things. So it's, it comes across like, you're not just like, all right, you're saying crazy shit to say crazy shit. You actually have maybe even follow with a fact, or just follow with, you could even hear it in there, especially Killer Mike's, you know, vocals. So I was very, not surprised, cause I was, this is what I was kind of expecting it to be, this kind of album, and not obviously as intense, but I was expecting it to be as good as it is. And it is a very good album. Some of my favorites are Lie, Cheat, Steal. What was it? All Due Respect, Angel Duster, and Close Your Eyes. Those are some of my standout tracks. I thought it was a very good album. Killer Mike doesn't, like Kendrick said on that song, you know, if you were real into real hip hop, Killer Mike would be platinum or some along those lines. I know I'm messing that up, yeah, but he's really just going for it. Every song you could tell, and his rhymes, he's definitely not talked about as much as it should be, because his rhymes, like the subject matter is something you don't care about, like it's whatever, but as a rapper, he's very good, and he should be talked about more than he was or has been of late. So it's a very good album, and something I can, if I'm in that mindset, or that type of mindset, I definitely would go, that would be a go-to album for me on that sense. But I was very, very happy.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. You definitely have to be like in the mindset of like, you want to get like pumped up, or like, you're just like mad at the world. And like,
yeah,
that's kind of like how it goes. And yeah, I feel like they are so political. And like you said, like, you have to kind of be invested in what they're talking about a little bit, because you can't just listen to them for like a good catchy beat and a hook, you know, like, yeah, like you really have to like be like invested in like what they're going to say and like how they're going to present their words. And I love the song. I can't remember off the top of my head the one, like what it's called, but I love the one with Zach De La Rocha.
Yeah. That was the last one I said.
Okay. Yeah. Like I love that. And I love his verse in particular, especially when he talks about like the things that, the only things that close faster than our caskets be the factory. Like, I thought that was just like, that's a heart punching like verse. So I feel you have to be in that kind of mindset to like, just like take it, and you know, it is what it is, but yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites. It took me a long time to actually like that album. Like, I listened to it like maybe the first 10 times I was like, who wants to listen to this? Like, this is not like, this is terrible. And then as I started thinking more about like what they're saying and kind of, you know, just how they use their kind of out there production, it's just, yeah, it just sticks to me. I love it. It's a great album.
I get what you're saying. Like, who wants to listen to this? And then you're like, all right, yeah, well, cause it's so, like I said, it's so harsh. Like, they're just, they come so swinging. Like he says, like in the beginning of Jeopardy. And I was, yeah, like, oh, okay. Like, all right, right. You're warning me. Thank you. Cause this, exactly, it's going to be a full album of this. So it's very, yeah, good. It's very, very good. But definitely like the right mindset, or you have to be looking for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, sure, a good album. We've been on a roll. Yeah. So
I feel like the first time I heard that too, I was exactly the same way. Like, I wasn't ready for it. I was like, he wasn't ready. Like, I was not ready for like that to happen. And so I put the headphones on and I'm just listening to it. And he just goes, I'm going to bang this bitch the F out. And like, he's just going crazy. I'm like, oh God, like, what are we getting ourselves into? And then the beat to that first song too, it's like very like, yeah, like it's very like kind of like distorted a little bit. And I was like, oh God, yeah, what is this? But then as I started like appreciating it more, like I realized it's really great.
Yeah. So like I said, I was just briefly saying we were on a hot streak, you know, the first three albums we've all liked. Yeah. I can't promise this, don't this disappoint, next one.
Yeah.
Like, I know I can't promise this. I really like this album, but the album for you this week, and it's, I think even though it's the second, you know, second week, it's expected, Jeffrey by Young Thug.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just let me know what you think of Harambe next week.
Okay.
There's a song titled Harambe. So let me know what you think of that next week. Just that song, not the whole album. No.
Okay.
So yeah, your album next week is, you're very excited. I see. It's the album with him in a dress.
I'm very aware.
Okay.
Sounds good. I know. I mean, I listen to Young Thug when he's on features. I've never listened to him from start to finish, a whole album of him. So this should be interesting. I'm excited.
All right. Awesome. So Kyle's album to review next for next week is Jeffrey by Young Thug. So this is end of the show. So thank you everyone for listening. We're very excited to have, you know, all the listeners and viewers. I see them on you know, all the listeners, see how many people are listening. Thank you everyone. Please subscribe. Anyone on YouTube, I see we're getting views. So please subscribe on there. On Twitter, we are We Debate Hip Hop. On Instagram, we are The Hip Hop Debate, and on YouTube, we are as also The Hip Hop Debate. So please, you know, like, comment, subscribe, tweet at us. Let us know what you're thinking, what you thought of the topics, what you think of the new format. We're down to change anything or try anything new. Let us know. And until next week, it's been real. Deuces.
Peace.